Good night.
Hello.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Amen. Amen. Good night.
Good night,
so
Brother
good
Star.
to see.
Night. Good
Good
night.
night. Yes, so good to see God's beautiful people, you know, gathered again one another Saturday for Bible study. God is truly amazing, and his presence is here. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. I just speak Jesus over your lives this evening, over your family. Speak Jesus over your household. I speak Jesus over you all this evening. Amen. Truly, he has been so great to us. We can't complain. You know, we can't complain. And with that, I want to welcome you all to another Bible study night. Another night when we come to hear from the Lord. You know, and if ever a time we need a word from him, it is now. If ever a time we need to be instant, in season, whether or not we feel like, whether or not the body is at that point or what. But David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. So whatever our situation is, let us encourage ourselves in the Lord. It's not all the time you're going to be on the mountaintop. Neither are you expected to be in the valley at all the times. But don't despise the valley experience. It's in the valley that he restores our soul. It's in the valley that we find worth for our lives. In the valley, it's worth it after all, because that's time that we really develop character. You don't develop character on the mountaintop, but it's in the valley that you realize your worth in Christ, and you develop that character to push you through. You know, if you're not careful on the mountaintop, we'll get you so excited that you forget who you are and whose you are. But when you're in the valley, it is there that your only hope and your only desire is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yes, and all other things will be added unto you. Yes, so with that said, let us pray as we begin another Bible study night. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So love ye the world that he gave us his son. We thank you, God, for the beautiful gift that you have given unto us. We thank you that our redemption has been as a price to it. Your precious blood, you have redeemed and you have ransomed us. And we stand in liberty today, knowing, mighty God, that it is finished. You said so with your words when you hung on that cross. You said, it is finished. Our salvation has been paid for. We have been redeemed. We have been rescued. We are no more under condemnation, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So we thank you this evening, Lord God, for your presence that is here with us. And we hold it, we esteemed it with our very life, knowing, mighty God, that our very next breath is depending on you. God, we pray that we take this life as a training ground for a meaningful experience with you in the land of the living. So, Lord God, that you will pilot us home safely to glory. We give ourselves unreservingly unto you, mighty God. We come against every force of darkness that would try to militate against us. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We pray, mighty God, for clearance on this line. In the name of Jesus, we come against every communication barrier. We tear down every forces, mighty God, that would rise up against us. We get resilient and resolute in our spirit, because we know, mighty God, that you are the one, hallelujah, that will break every yoke and bring the deliverance. Lord God, we commit our life in your hand. We forget everything that we think we may know, mighty God. We empty ourselves of all problems and all situations. We place them at the foot of the cross even now. We pray, Spirit of the living God, that you will fall afresh. Come now, mighty God, and dwell in us and on us, Lord God, in a very special way. Sit on us, mighty God, and cause us, Lord God, to have that focus upon you, Lord, and upon your word. Lord God, for you we come, and we mighty God, know that when we come to you, Lord, you are faithful and you are just. Yes, mighty God, to give us what we need for this season. And so, Lord God, we pray for clearance over this broadcast. In the name of Jesus, we pray, mighty God, for all that who will participate in one way or the other, that you will give holy boldness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray that your spirit, Lord God, will be so evident among us and within us. Yes, mighty God, that will make a difference even now. Hallelujah. I pray, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yes, Lord, that you'll raise up an hallelujah in us despite what we're going through, despite what we're in, Lord God. Let us not look like our circumstances. Let us not look at like what we're going through, but let us look, mighty God, hallelujah, as a people with grace and mercy all over us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we pray, mighty God, for liberty in your presence. Because where your spirit is, mighty God, there is liberty. We receive that liberty even now. And we pray, God, that your will be done as we tell you thanks in Christ's name and for thy glory.
Amen.
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 Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, tonight, we look at Joshua, the success of Moses. We spoke in length of Moses. I think it took us like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I'm not sure if it's 3 or 4 weeks, but we did a little study on it. As I said, it was not conclusive. That means there is much more to learn on Moses. And as you and I can remember from long time ago, as we go to church or listen to services, we'd hear them speaking of Moses. He has been preached about on many platforms, and yet he has not been exhausted. There's so much the Spirit of God would reveal to a particular character in Scripture that you and I cannot exhaust it. Amen. So tonight, we give God thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Our presenter tonight. We have a presenter tonight. Our presenter tonight is no stranger to us. He's one of our very own. Yes, she's like a rose, radiating passion and dedication to the word of God, holding it dear to our heart and applying its teaching to our daily life, despite facing various challenges from the enemy. She remains steadfast and rooted in our commitment to building God's kingdom. She's a devout prayer warrior who intercedes for others without hesitation. She prioritizes nurturing our relationship with God and others, exemplifying love through acts of kindness. She embraces and consistently seek to grow daily in God's grace. Amen. As a devout follower of Christ, a mother, a wife, an educator, a leader, a friend, a coach, a preacher, our mantle is God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. She relies heavily on the Holy Spirit to guide her in all things she does. She has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. So without further ado, I want to welcome our sister. And there's so much more that could be said about her. But one of the most important things is she loves the Lord.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God radiates in and through her. Mm-hmm. I was able to sit with her, and she has a message in her. You know, and so tonight, I want to welcome our presenter, none other than Mrs. Camille Shan. Minister Camille Shan. Help me make our welcome as our presenter tonight, as you stretch your hands to her. Use our Lord, use her for thy glory. Let she tell the story. Lord, she will obey. There's no other way. Use her, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Minister, it's all over to you.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. We bless the holy name of Jesus. I greet you, Deacon Pratt, and I greet every other participant on the platform tonight in the worthy and exalted name of Jesus. Praise God. I'm here tonight for us to have a conversation about Joshua. You know, just to dig deep into the scriptures about who Joshua was, Mr. Lord. And so I'm just going to jump right into it. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank each of you for your presence here tonight and for allowing me to share with you what the Holy Spirit has shared with me. Amen. And so I bless each of you. And so we get started. We look on Joshua. And one of the first things that came to my mind, who was Joshua? And as Deacon Scott would have mentioned earlier on, that he was Moses' successor, which means that he would have been there with Moses. You know, Moses brought the children of Israel throughout the different events that they went through, different encounters. And so Joshua was there with Moses, as Moses' helper. And you know, while being somebody's helper, you're close to that person, and you there are certain things that you will learn from this person. And so Joseph, we can surmise that Joshua rather would have learned from Moses. You know, he was there to study Moses and Moses' leadership. And so perhaps it has contributed to making Joshua the excellent leader that he was. Now, Joshua was called by God to take over from Moses, to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, this was a land that was promised to their parents, you know, to and even grandparents. But you know, they were trapped in the wilderness, or God kept them in the wilderness for the 40 years. We see where that generation, that first generation of Israelites would have passed on. And so their children were now ready to go into their inheritance, and they had to be led by Joshua, because by this time, Moses would have died. Amen? And so I am going to... And I'm going to open the floor right now and ask Sister Heather Scott to go ahead and read our lesson for tonight.
It's Sandra Scott.
Oh, sorry, Sister Sandra Scott. Thank you, Deacon.
Okay. I didn't know they never asked me, so.
My apologies.
Accepted.
All right, Sister Sandra.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, son.
Good night, sis.
Good night, son.
Good night. This is reading is taken from Joshua 1-10. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great seas, towards going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide it for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thine mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt be good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. 10 and last. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying,
bless the Lord, bless the word. That this is the word of the Lord, and we honor his name by saying thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Sister Scott, for reading
the scripture.
Bless the Lord. And so we get back into the scripture. Let us delve into the word. So we see where as Sister Sandra would have read, Joshua was called by God. No, this was after Moses is dead and he was called by God to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. You know, God called him. And when we look at the scriptures closely, like, for example, verse 3-5, we see where God made Joshua a promise. You know, it said, wherever you lay the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given you, as I said unto Moses. So God would have given Joshua a promise. He said in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail nor forsake thee. And this is what God would have said to Joshua. This was a promise that God had given unto Joshua. Right? I give you my word. Wherever you lay your foot, wherever you tread, it shall be yours. All the days of your life, no man will be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, I am also with you. This was a promise. Amen? And when I looked further into the scriptures, we see the promise that is followed by some conditions. Because when I look at verse 7 to verse 9, I see where God had some conditions to these promises. We say that God's promises are yes and amen. Whatever he says that he is going to do, God is going to do it. He's not a man that he should lie. So whatever, if God said this is it, then this is it. Amen. But when we examine the scripture, we realize that there were certain conditions it says in order for these promises to be fulfilled, there is something that were expected of Joshua. The first thing that the scripture says God required of Joshua to be strong and courageous. That's a requirement, you know. I am going to be with you, but this is what I want you to do for me, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. The Bible says he commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous. See, God knew that Joshua would come up and would have to face some very difficult situations, and he would need courage to be able to overcome Amen. These challenges. And so that is why from the get-go, from the beginning stage, he makes sure to tell himself, look here, I'm going to be with you now. I'm going to be right there with you. But I want you to be strong. I want you to be brave. You know, it is necessary. He needed this from Joshua. That was Joshua's part to play for this promise to be fulfilled. Another promise, another condition I noticed when Joshua was commanded to be strong and courageous. Following that, Joshua was also commanded to be obedient. He was commanded to be obedient to the laws that God had given Moses, which he wrote, which Moses had now written in the book. God told Joshua, turn not from it to the left or to the right, that thou mayest prosper with us whoever thou goest. That means you're going to prosper wherever you go. You know, we see where the promise was being reinforced. However, Joshua had a part to play. Joshua had to follow the book that Moses had written in slavishly. He had to be obedient to God. Praise God. I want to look at verse 9 that Sister Sandra just read. We see where the conditions was reinforced in verse 9. It's like verse 9 just sum up everything. The conditions were there and also the promise. Have I not commanded you? Do not be afraid. I am with you wherever you go. You know, he commanded Joshua to be obedient to him, to be obedient to Moses' laws that he had given Moses. And he commanded him to be courageous and strong. Those were the premises on which the promise of God would be fulfilled. And when we look at this as believers, you know, we are also summoned to that call of courage in our lives as believers. Yes, God is calling us to rise up and not to be afraid, to go out and to spread the gospel, to do what he has commanded us as individuals to do. God is requiring of us, like Joshua, to follow his instruction, which is the word of God, to stick to the instruction of God, you know, to what the word of God says, not to take it and twist it and put our own. You know, some persons really, the word of God says one thing, but we take the word and we manipulate it and we stretch it all out of way, you know, to fit what we want. Yes. My God. But God is saying, listen, man, this is what the word says. And if the word says this, do it. He said, don't turn to the left or to the right.
Glory.
He has commanded Joshua. He's telling us, you can't go, look to the left or to the right. Stay here. Don't look down at the mother lady down there. So don't become entangled in all of that. All that you need is written right here within the word. We need to follow the word of God. Praise God. Follow my instruction. Listen to it. And I will be with you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. This was the promise.
Glory
and we
God.
See where the conditions were necessary for this promise to be fulfilled. We are called to be strong and courageous. It's not easy to serve God and to stand and represent Jesus, but it is necessary for us to do it. Challenges will come up. You know, we will be faced. We will be trapped in a corner sometimes where we are asked to make a choice. But it is necessary for us to make that choice to serve Jesus. And I will share with you one encounter that I had. So as I teach and, you know, I'm a Jamaican and I traveled from Jamaica to teach right here in the States. So I'm at work and there was this event that was supposed to be happening that was centered around Halloween. No, I am not that person that celebrates Halloween. You know, I take away myself from it. You know, I believe that this is something that has to do with the devil, you know. And so I was asked, I don't see where Halloween is in the Bible. Therefore, I don't see why it should be celebrated. If God said, I must stick to the word, I stick to the word. I was asked to partake in an event at school. With regards to this Halloween. Now I was uncomfortable in my spirit. And I know that this was not something that I that God would allow me to do, you know? And so I came home and I prayed about it. And, you know, the principal would have sent out the memo, all hands on deck. We are expected to be at school. We're expected to be a part of this event. And, you know, Sister Camille not going to participate in this. And so I prayed to the Lord and I asked God, what do I do? And he told me to walk in that boldness and, you know, to say to the principal, I'm not going to be here. And I went, you know, and I said, ma'am, and I expressed that I am not able to participate in this event and so on. I wasn't even given an opportunity to explain anything. I just said, I'm not going to be able to be at school for that event. It was after work hours. It was like from five to seven. And it was, you know, after work hours. That means it's not a necessity that I'm at school. It's at school event, yes, but it's after work hours. So, and she was in the hallway and I stopped her by the wayside of the hallway to say this to her right there and then. Is like, I don't know. She started talking back to me, but what I said to her, there were other teachers in the hallway. Nobody knew what I said to her because of my tone. But when she responded, everybody could hear and could tell that, could tell what I had said to her, you know, based on her response. And she was on top of her voice and she was in the hallway and persons were looking. And I stood there and I was ready to answer. And the Holy Spirit of God is like, you know, do so far my mouth. And I could not answer. And she stood there and I stood and I looked at her and she talked and she quarreled and she said, this is a school event and you are hired to, and the children are responsibility. And if anything happened to the children, you are responsible. And they went on and I stood there. The only thing I could say under my breath, the only thing the Holy Spirit allowed me to say under my breath, the blood of Jesus. And she spoke and I said, the blood of Jesus. She didn't know if I was saying anything under my breath, the blood of Jesus. And she was there and I did not say anything else. And she said, I have to go. And she just walked off. And I came home, no man. I said, God, but you're not easy. I said, God, you send me to her to face that embarrassment. Me, I said, no. Me, I said, you know. But anyway, I said, I'm not going. I said, I'm not going. I let her know I'm not going in that very moment. And I just said, I'm not going. I'm not going to provide an explanation or anything. Just now go. Because that is it. I went into prayer. I summoned some of my prayer warrior friends and I said, we're going to fast. I called a fast and we went into prayer and fasting. We went to school. It was coming up to that time. We went to school and there we had a staff meeting, and that was where she called me in the staff meeting and apologized to me in the staff meeting right there. My God, apologizing, saying, listen,
Jesus.
But you know, when it happened, you know, I said, God, me could have taken the day, you know, yeah. I said, I could have taken the day from school, not go to school, and avoid all of this altogether. I said, but God, you sent me to her. I said, God, how you send me to her and you allow her to embarrass me like that? And God, the Holy Spirit of God said to me, listen, instead of anointed you with boldness. So when you go and you speak, other persons are there who do not want to be a part of it, but they are afraid to come up front and to say it, you know? And so when you speak, it opens a door for those who want to get out. After she apologized, she said she sent out a doc, and those who will be a part of it can just go ahead and put their names in and whatever job they're going to do, whether you're going to be at the gate or you're going to sell concession or whatever. Now, that provided the opportunity for others who were afraid of saying something, who never have that courage to do that, to be absent from the event. I'm sharing this to say, sometimes the situation is so tough. It is so challenging. You know, you feel like it's you against the world. You know, because there are other persons there who are Christians. And when I say I'm not going, somebody has said to me, say, make we go. You know, when I mean, I say, I am saying, but we are children of God. And if we stand up, we yes, I have to say yes, and we know if we say no. You understand? We can't say Jesus and we're going to entangle ourselves with the things that
Hallelujah.
Are the enemy. So I mean, I don't know where it came from within me. I think the young lady was frightened when I responded. I said, if you want to go, go. I am not going. You know, I came home and all sorts of thoughts in my head. You're a part of leadership. How you going to do this? You know, persons were saying, then suppose let's ship you back off to Jamaica because you don't. I said, if they tell me that I am fired and I need to go, I pop my bag and I leave this place because I will not go. I am not allowed to, you know, and I'm not going to tell you that it was easy. Sometimes it felt like one man against the world. Me, I wonder, I question God so much. My God. But I knew that God was with me, Sister Lynette. Yes, God was with me and he allowed me. He said, do it. And I did it. And it allowed the public apology. I had to come home and lift my hands to God. And I said, God, you see you? You're not easy, you know, Jesus. You know, so it is necessary for us to be courageous. Situations will arise, and it's necessary for us to be obedient, you know. And so we're going to go on. I got off track a little. Let us continue. When we're looking at the verses that follow, we see where Joshua began to activate the promises. So the promise was released to Joshua. And we saw the conditions that were necessary for the fulfillment of this promise. And we see now when Joshua got into action and he started activating the promises of God. The promises of God are there for us as believers. There are conditions to some of these promises. However, even when we are knowledgeable about the promises and we know the condition, we must activate these promises. Amen? So, activate this. How did Joshua activate these promises? Joshua started walking in obedience. So, because that was one of the conditions. So he started living out these conditions now. He started walking in obedience. So Joshua told the leaders, go gather your food. You know, we're going to camp. And in 3 days, we're going to go across River Jordan. This was the instruction of the Lord to Joshua. And he started to do what God had commanded him to do. Amen. They made preparations and they began to move. Now, Joshua was a man of strategy. When we read throughout the book of Joshua, we see where he had strategy. And these strategies were, you know, you look at it and you say, these are good strategies. But these strategies were nothing without the influence of the Holy Spirit, you know? And I, why do I say this? Because in chapter 5, when we're looking at chapter, when I was reading chapter 7, rather, where Joshua, the same strategic man, you know, allowed his followers to go into battle against Ai. And the same, they had their strategy and they went to attack Ai and whatever, but they were defeated. They were defeated because this man, I don't know the pronunciation if it's Achan or I think it's Achan. He was disobedient to God. He had taken some gold and stuff. I know I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I want to show you that these strategies were ineffective and inefficient without the Holy Spirit. So even though he had those strategies and they went to attack, they lost it because the man was disobedient. When Joshua did what he needed to do to correct it and began walking again in obedience to God, that was when they won against the same AI that they had lost to before. So we can, based on that, we can say these strategies, good strategies, but ineffective and inefficient without the leading of the Holy, without the influence of the Holy Spirit. By themselves, they can't stand. It needed the Holy Spirit of God in order to be effective. Amen? And so,
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And so, yes, he was a man of strategy. And we see where Joshua was promised. God made this promise to him. And even though God would have made this promise, Joshua knew that he still had a part to play. He never got complacent. He never got complacent, you know, and just rest back and just say, God promised me this. He knew he had a part to play. And so because of that, he did what he was supposed to do. And that is what led him to that victory. Praise God. Praise God. So Joshua now sent his spies into the land of Jericho. And, you know, when the spies got there, this is chapter 2 now, they stayed with a prostitute, Rahab, who hid them from the king. Now, when they heard that the spies were there, the king's men, they went to Rahab and, you know, who hid and asked about them. And Rahab said, no, man, then they come and then gone. When they get close, them gone. You know, but at that time, they were in hiding. And so Rahab now made a deal with them to help them escape. And for which was trading her life for theirs, pretty much. And so some theologians may argue that, you know, Rahab, I was touching this briefly and moving on, told a lie. And it but that God forgave Rahab. Even though she tell a lie, she said ain't gone, where in fact she was hiding them. Some theologians argue because them say, you know, God would have forgiven her because she broke one principle to uphold another. So she told a lie in order to protect God's people, you know, and that is the argument that some would present. And so the truth is, brethren, sometimes we're faced with some dilemmas in our life and we must always be truthful. The word of God reminds us that God desires truth in the inward part. And so we must be truthful. However, you know, the motive, her motive there was to protect God's people. And while lying is wrong and lying is a sin, you know, we can receive grace upon the confession of our sins. And some argue that she would have received grace upon the confession and she was forgiven, you know. And so it's, we don't always make the right choices as Christians, but we are grateful for the opportunity of repentance. Amen. Where we can go to God and say, God, you know, send me do something I'm never supposed to do. Because as human beings, we will falter. But David faltered. But one thing we can say about David, he was repentant. Oh, God. As he find out, he ran to the Lord. You know, and that's what we ought to do, aim to do as children of God. Run to Jesus every minute. You know, asking him. By our very thoughts, we sin. You know, and so we are expected to ask God for that cleansing. Chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters, chapter 3, when Joshua would have led them across River Jordan, opening the way for the children of Israel to enter into the promised land. We see where God would have given Joshua some specific instructions, you know, and so we know, we can't tell, Joshua was very obedient, you know, very obedient. He was so connected with God. God could give him every instruction so explicit. And he was able to follow them out with in that obedience. And when we look at Joshua, we begin to examine ourselves. I begin to examine myself. You know, I start questioning me. Camila, are you doing what God is commanding you to do? You know, are you walking in obedience like Joshua did? You know, sometimes God gives us some instruction and we do a part of it and leave out another part. Because it's so hard. Because we don't want to do it. You know? But God is saying to us, we need to be at a place of obedience. We need to carry that heart of obedience. So Joshua was given specific instructions as to how to get across River Jordan. And we see the introduction of the Ark of the Covenant in this chapter, where Joshua was instructed by God to allow the Levite priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant, which would allow River Jordan to be opened and for them to walk through on dry land. Now, some persons may wonder what the Ark of the Covenant is. And you can find this information in Exodus 25, verses 10 to 22. You can read on it. It is like a storage box, like a box that Moses had built when he was going through with the children of Israel. God gave him specific instruction as to how to construct this Ark of the Covenant, right? Very meticulous. You go and read Exodus 25 and you will see the details, you know, of how God instructed Moses to build this Ark. And so the Ark of the Covenant, though, quickly represented the presence of God. You know,
of God.
We read many instances in the Bible where the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned, where people came in contact with it and great things happened. And when people came in contact with it, and because things were out of line, this disastrous things happened. But it signifies and it's a representation of the presence of God.
Praise God.
Praise God. And so Joshua knows or was instructed that getting too close to this representation of the presence of God without being consecrated or without being sanctified, you know, disastrous things could happen, dangerous things could happen. And that's what happens
yes.
in the
Lord.
If we are not clean, if we're not sanctified, and we go into the presence of the Lord, you know, things can happen. You know, this is
yes.
this is holy. You know, this represents the holiness of God. And we need to be mindful when we enter into that place. Mighty God, this Ark of the Covenant manifests the very power and presence of Almighty God. You know, so Joshua instructed the people, sanctify yourselves, you know, because you can't come into contact with this covenant without being sanctified. You know, so sanctify yourself before by tomorrow, that we may be able to get into the presence of the Lord. All right, and this wasn't even direct contact with the covenant, you know, because they had a distance. I think it was a 1,000 feet. I'm not sure of the specifications of it, but I think Joshua was the people could not go further than a certain distance with the Ark of the Covenant. They couldn't touch it, and even though they were going to go a certain distance, they had to sanctify themselves before they could get to that place. And when we think about ourselves, and when we go to our secret place, when we go to dwell in the presence of the Lord, it's a requirement that we sanctify ourselves. We must sanctify ourselves. You know, it's honor and respect and reverence to Almighty God. We can't get into the presence of God any old how, you know, and you're mixed and you're mingled with all kind of things, and then you feel like it's okay to, you know, my grandmother would have said, cobs up yourself, you know, with the presence of God. Mm-mm. It's not something that should be taken lightly. We don't treat it casually. Come on. This is the holy presence of God, my God. And so we need to sanctify ourselves. And it's something that we constantly do. We go before the Lord. We ask him to do this before we get into the presence of the Lord. We know we are doing something wrong. We can't go pray some prayer to God. And we know that I feel hurt in myself, in my heart, about something that Deacon Scott said to me. I can't go. I'm supposed to go before God. No, Sammy, I have to go ask God. We have to go deal with that issue there first. We have to deal with the affairs of our heart first before we can go into the presence of God. I can't allow him. I can't go there like me want to cobs up myself with God. No, I know so it work. You know, mm-hmm. He may be our friend. Yes, he's accessible, but we can't treat him. We need to have reverence and respect for him.
It's God.
My God.
We Hallelujah. See this
elsewhere in the Bible, when Moses came in contact with the burning bush, he had to take off himself because where he stood was holy ground. You yes. know, when you're looking further on in Joshua as well, when the angel of God appeared unto Joshua, he had to take off his sandal. When Joshua said, are you a friend or a foe? And he said, no, I am neither. Mighty God, Joshua bowed, you know, he bowed in reverence to this divine being. And he said, take off your sandals. My God. And it's more than just the physical. When we talk about sanctify ourselves as believers, we're talking about sanctifying our hearts. Hallelujah. Asking the Holy Spirit of God to circumcise the foreskin of our hearts. Mighty God. Hallelujah. That when we get into that presence, when we go before the Lord, my God, there's nothing that separates us from connecting with him heart to heart. And for this to be possible, we must be intentional. It is not a given that this happened. We must be deliberate. We must be intentional. We must ask Holy God to do this for us. You know, we can't go up in our presence behaving a certain way.
Amen.
God is a holy God, and he requires, you know, holiness. We cannot get into his presence unclean. And so they could not, though it was, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, it's a representation of the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And they couldn't go into the presence of God unclean. And so we need to look into ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to work upon us. And like I said earlier, that we are human beings, so we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but we're supposed to can own up to these mistakes before Almighty God and ask Him and tell Him how it go and repent. Because repentance comes when you own what you do that is wrong, and then you stop from doing it. When the Holy Spirit convict you and say, this is wrong, you know, so don't do this, Sister Camille. Should I continue to do it? That's not, when I pray and I say, God, forgive me, and then I go back and do it. That's not repentance. I haven't repented yet. I go right back into the act.
Amen. Presumptuously
and truly repent. I must say, I must move away from it. Repentance is not even the prayer. Repentance is the act of moving away from the things that Holy God would have bid us to. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so this season, God is calling us into a season of repentance. Hallelujah. Because it's going to hinder His move. Praise God. Amen. Now, Joshua would have followed God's instruction rather with precision. Every deed, he never missed a beat. Everything what God tell him to do, him do. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew that in order for God to move powerfully, he needed the people to be spiritually ready and obedient. Are we spiritually ready? You know, I ask God to manifest His power in my life, to move in my life, to do some things. But sometimes we really have to ask myself, Camille, you ready? My God, you ready, Camille? You know, and it pushed me to a place where me have to ask God, no, God, help me to be ready. Because I cannot ask you if you come, and when you come, I'm ready. Because God is always ready, you know. God is ready to move. And sometimes when we say, my God, God come and come move, and He show up, God have to turn up, look. Because we're not ready. Joshua was ready. He knew from the day before, he said, God sanctify yourself, because God is going to move tomorrow. They were proactive. They never wait until the last minute. They might run and go say whatever. No. And like Joshua, we need to be proactive. We need to get ready. We need to put this word, the word of God, in our hearts. We don't know what will happen. There might come a time where we're not able to access the word. We might be trapped in a situation where we can't pull out the word. We have to pull it out of our heart. We have to be ready. Place the word of God in your heart. You know, I remember having a conversation with Deacon, and he was saying, Deacon, permit me to share how he came under attack one night that he was praying. And
go ahead.
And he had to pull for the word of God that was written on his heart, the promises of God. And it's because he knew who he was in God. He was able to stand against the wiles of the enemy when he come up on him, you know, running upon him. He said, me, I'm going to devour you tonight. He was able to pull out the word, and the enemy had to back off. But had he waited until that moment to pull out the scripture and figure and find it, no, the enemy would have probably just licked him over. The enemy would have probably licked him over. We have to be ready. We cannot say we are children of God and we go out and we're all up in the enemy's face to say, yes, I am a child of God, and expect that he might go push at us. And when he push at us, we can't defend ourselves, you know. We are at a place where we're fully dependent on Jesus. And if we don't pull out the word and put it back upon him, he not back off. Amen? And so we must tour the word, hallelujah, in our hearts. Praise God. Now so the priests touched the shores of the bank and they were able to go across. You know, just like when Moses brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea, the water just piled up on two sides, and then they were able to walk through. A similar situation happened with Joshua. You know, and God even told them to bring some stones as a memorial, hallelujah, to show your children, you know, as evidence that this is what Holy God would have did, hallelujah, praise God. And I'm wrapping up now. So we see where Joshua was faithful and obedient to God's plans and strategies, tongue-tied. We see where he conquered the city of Jericho by demolishing the walls, you know, and then they could have used so many different tactics, you know, so many military, you know, strategies. But we see where Joshua would have follow the instruction of God to the nitty-gritty. God said, go around the city of Jericho. March around it. He said, be silent. You know, one time each day. And on the seventh day, you're going to make you're going to march around it seven times. And you're going to shout. You're going to blow on the instrument. And the wall will come tumbling down. And we see where, as God had said.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
My God. You know, the word of God says, God used the things of the world to confound the wise. Mm-hmm. You know? You know, make no sense. If imagine if you tell somebody, so we're running, you know, we're claim that land over there, you know, God say, after we, you know. And say, all right, what is the plan? Oh, we're going to march around it seven times, one time each day. And then on the seventh day, we're going to march around it seven times. Then what I say, brother, that don't make no sense, brethren. That don't make no sense. It don't make no physical sense. But that is how God works. And that is the part of us to trust him in order to see the manifestation of his power. If we don't trust God, I tell you, because sometimes God will tell you if you do some things where, you know, it's illogical. If you think it out, it doesn't add up. You know, God, what? This mm-hmm. doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. However, you know, these very things that he would have asked us to do, hallelujah, are the very things that would have allowed us to experience the manifestation. You know, when I came here and I started teaching, you know, I was at a low performing school. Oh gosh, the scores that they would get on the test, man, low score. And it became the norm. And persons just receive it. Because we had a tendency that, you know, after things start to go a certain way, some of us will tend to just accept it as the norm. You know, they say, all right, maybe I just saw if it go. We're not challenge it based on what God's word would have said. Anyway, I went to the school and it was low performing school and the children had zero care. Them just come to school to come to school sick. Mm-hmm. You know, and Mr. God, no, sir, Jesus, say, you send me here, so, and excellence is with me because you are with me, Holy God. I'm going to say, you are going to do this for me, Jesus. I start to go in every morning in my classroom and I would pray every single day, you know, and I would move through the benches. I was given a word from God. The Holy Spirit said, take your olive oil and anoint the benches when the children are not here.
Cheers. Mm-hmm.
And so we went in and I anoint the chair and the table. Nobody knew, you know, because you know, in these places, you hear, say you have all kind of oil and you hear all kind of things. I know the enemy is bad. I know him bad. You know, so I did what I was told to do, but I didn't publicize it. Praise God. And I anointed the chair and I moved through and, you know, and the children would come and I would pray there. I mean, call out their name. And sometimes I cry because I feel like you're not going anywhere, not getting through, you know. And I remember when it was time for them to do their exam and I cried to the Lord. I said, God, I want to see your hand. I said, God, if you are with me, let me see your hand. I need to see a manifestation of the power of God in this room. And I can tell you, you see, God, one at a time, one of the students raised their hand. I'm going to go to this student. I said, what happened? And he said, I came to this question on the computer and the question is already answered. I said, what do you mean? He said, when I came onto it, the answers are already in. I said, you check it? He said, yes. I said, so you do you need to change it? He said, no, these are the right answers. I said, all right, move on. He said, by the time I could have moved on from there, so it's another student. I said, what is it? He said, miss, when I came to this question, the question is already answered. He said, I can't shout, I have to be stamped. Me just a stamp my foot. They must say, Missy, all right, it's the power of God, it's the anointing of God. Because I know that what just happened is God in oneself would have allowed.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And so when I came home, Missy, I burst out in tears because I said, God, if not you, then who?
My God, that was the first year that school had ever experienced those results, that the highest result at the school. And that was the year that I taught there. And I know it's not me, because I'm no better teacher than any of the other teachers that would have been there. The only difference is I have the power of God. When I prayed and I said, God, these children, oh God, God, you know, they don't look like them are gonna make it. He reminded me, he said, Camille, you have supernatural help. My God. And that supernatural help is what came through. I know that when people see me over my classroom and me over there, me a prayer and me anoint cheers and whatever. They are them have them things what them say and whatever. They said what they said. You know, I was called into a meeting to say, you know, they don't pray and we can't put our religion and children or whatever. That was not me. I prayed while the children were out. When they came, I spoke to them under the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to say, I am a Christian. This is what I do. And I make it about me. I'm not pushing anything on them. You know, I tell them this is what I do. And when I feel down, I read my Bible. And you know, the word of God tells me that. And I make it about me. None of them can tell me that I am pushing it on them. But they need to be exposed to the word of God. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I would have shared. And the manifestation of the power of God was very evident there, you know, with the results. So God used unconventional things. He tell me if you use the olive oil. And it may know if somebody's that's a non-Christian see me with the oil. And I said, then I want that. You know how that makes sense. Yes. You know? Is there power in the oil? No power not in the oil. Which where olive oil get power? Yes. No, it's the power of God. It's a representation, is a point of contact to the power of God. Hallelujah. So God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And that's why when you tell you, if we move, I don't even make no sense. We need to move. We must move in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. One final thing before I close, before I hand over to Deacon. God using the unconventional things, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I remember when I was in Jamaica, I suffered from acid reflux. You know, as a teacher, sometimes you don't eat, you know, and the acid build up on the stomach and cause you to feel a certain way. And when I was there, I realized that I was supposed to preach Sunday. The Holy Spirit told me to do a 24-hour fast. I said, but God, remember, you know, I have acid reflux. So, you know, how this is going to work out? The Holy Spirit of God is going to do a fast 24 hours. All right, God, if you say it, may believe it, I'm going to do it. And I started on the fast. Put away my phone, lock in, have different things. You fast, you pray, you worship, read the word, all of that. For the 24 hours, I was locked in. Can I tell somebody tonight that since that point in time, I am healed from acid reflux?
Praise and God.
When it happened, I said, God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You
know, the very Hallelujah. Thing, not eating, is what instigated an acid reflux in the first place. That's where it came from. And God, it does not make any sense. It couldn't make sense to me at the time. But I just know, so I trust God. I'm saying, God, me trust you. I know if you say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. You know? And so when he told me to do it, I did it. Initially, I didn't just jump into it. Me, I questioned God with my bright self. Let me know, not know. You understand? Let me go up in a God's face. I said, God, oh, you know, remember I said this time. God said, look here, do what me tell you to do. Amen? And I did it. And I can testify that I have been healed from acid reflux. Sometimes it feels like it wants to spring up. You know, and I just remind him. I said, look here, remember, I said, you're healed in Jesus' name.
So, and so yes.
It seemed foolish to the world. I couldn't tell somebody, I am fasting for 24 hours to get healed from acid reflux.
Hallelujah. Makes no sense.
God used the things of the world, the foolish things, to confound the wise.
Oh, God. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah. And praise so God. I was up there for tonight. As Deacon would have said, you can't exhaust Joshua. There's so much meat, you know, in it. And so I encourage you, go ahead and read, you know, and be fed from it. But I take my leave right now in Jesus' name.
Deacon Scott. Thank you for having me. Over to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We give God thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. To amen. God be the glory. Great things glory. He has done.
Great things.
Amen. 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 We bless amen. God for amen. Minister Camille. She has been such a blessing presenting Joshua.
Yes.
Man, Joshua amen. To us. And we are blessed. Amen. Amen. Yes, we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We thank God. She meant one of some of the key things she mentioned are some of the things that I could capture. She mentioned that Moses was this, Joshua was the successor of Moses.
Yes.
And he led the children of Israel into the promised land tremendously with a joyful shout. And she mentioned, our minister mentioned that the promises comes with condition. You have to, there are conditions that has to be met in order for those promises to be realized. One of them is God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous. You know, he said, be obedient to the law. Turn not to the right, nor to the left. You know, he say God promised that he's going to give him victory. He's going to give him the land, Canaan land. You know, he promises. One of the things that I take away from that is when God make a promise to you, it's not time for you to get complacent. Many people, when God promised them something, they stop working and start to say, okay, God said that I'm going to pass my exam, so I don't need to study anymore because God said I am going to pass the exam. What is not so? When God promises something, it's time for you to have deeper diligence in seeking. It's time for you to be motivated in such a way. You realize when God promised Joshua that he's going to give him the land and whatever, Joshua rose up early in the morning. He didn't just lay down in bed and just relax and say, God, I'm going to win. I'm going to conquer. I'm going to have the victory. So I'm going to just lay down and just sleep. No, he rose up early in the morning, just the same. You know, God said he's going to part the Jordan so that they can go across the Jordan. They didn't just stop at the Jordan and just wait for it to just part. The word of God said, as soon as the feet of the priest touch the water, that's when it's going to be separated so that they can pass through. So when God promised you, God promised you and I something, it's not time for us to get complacent. It's for us to get radical. The word of God tells us that ever since the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffer violence, but the violence take it by force. When God promises something, it's time for you to move in. It's time for you to move in and captivate and capture. You know, it's not time for you to just be there. Like you're a lost sheep. It's time for you to be there as a part of the vine. You know, knowing that you have the vocative.
Yes.
Yes. When you used to go to school and you used to be bullied by those other guys or whatever, you feel so confident to know that you have a brother that is at school with you or one of your friends that can fight for you. And when you see them around, no bully can come near you. You know, it's like you get an extra strength because you have somebody cheering you on. You know, when you're running, when you're doing any track and field event or whatever, and you're there running and you feel so restless and so tired, as soon as somebody says, run, 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 and you know that it's your friend cheering you on, it gives you motivation. So it's so when Christ promises us something, it should motivate us to move out. It's not time for us to get to just sit down, I goodbye. You know, so God tell one of the condition is to walk in obedience.
Yes.
You know, we thank Sister Sandra to read that passage for us. And some of the things that came from the passage is that every place that your sole of your feet shall tread upon, that is not I give unto you. Every place. So it doesn't take a lazy man to conquer, because if he don't go about and put his sole of his feet on it, he's not going to have nothing more than what he sits down on. So you the promises of God, you have to walk out and it every place that your sole of your feet touch shall be yours. So what you're going to
do?
Aren't you going to get busy night and day? You're going to walk around night and day. You're going to seek, you know, night and day. You're going to seek what is yours, because the word of God says, wherever the sole of your feet touch, that shall be yours.
Yes.
It doesn't take a lazy man, because if you're lazy and complacent, you're not going to be able to captivate. You're not going to be able to make that fulfillment path. You're going to just be there. You know, so laziness is not, if you see a lazy person and they say they're in
Christendom,
tell them to put a future date. Tell them to put a future date on their salvation. They have not gone to Calvary yet. Calvary don't make you lazy. Calvary keep you busy. Yes, Calvary keep you busy. You know, the word of God tells us that it's not by works that we are saved. But when you are saved to do good work.
Yes. Good work.
Hallelujah.
Service.
Yes.
Service.
It's not by works that you and I are saved, but when you are saved, you're saved to be good work.
Yes.
And the word and works is active. Works is an active word. You have to be active.
Active.
You have to be active. Yes, it's an active word. You know? Yes. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. So it's very profound. Mr. Camille, I give God thanks for you. Joshua was a man of strategy. You know, he never get complacent. Glory to God. You know, he said, we have to sanctify ourselves. We can't come near to the presence of God any old way. We have to, if you know good, if you know better, it is expected of you to do better. Don't come in the presence of God any old way and expect to get the same result that other people get in after sanctifying themselves. Some will even get cast down. Amen. And one of the things sister got from it too, Sister Camille said that repentance is not only a prayer, it's an act.
Action.
Yes, so you come repenting is not only in a prayer, but is your act. You must turn. Repentance, turn.
Amen.
We thank Sister Camille. We thank Sister Sandra for reading that word. And welcome. We welcome our first time worshipers with us, and we hope to see you. We pray to see you again next week when we meet between 8 and 9. Sometimes we go a bit over, just for emphasis, you know, but we won't keep you long. 8 to 9 on a Saturday. You know, the link is the same, but I still keep it in the chat, in the WhatsApp chat, for so you can have easy access to it. So we welcome Sister Tamaya. Sister Tamaya, we welcome you. We welcome Sister Nadine, or Nadine. Forgive me the pronunciation, if I get it wrong, all right?
Everton, Merle Sunny.
Yes, Sister Chantal, we welcome you. Auntie Merle, from all the way in Maryland. We give God thanks for you, and we hope you'll come again and join us. Auntie Merle, if you're available, can you give us an hallelujah, our greetings in the name of Jesus? Amen, 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 amen. Yes, Auntie Merle, we're so
we're listening to this about John.
Not hearing.
Sanctifying yourself. I am doing something, and it is based on that same thing that you need to repent of your sin. Don't have to go back there anymore. And
anymore.
I know that is stressing to me.
Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. We are happy to have you. And we pray you will come again. Welcome our sister Yvonne and our sister Winsome. We give God thanks for each and every one of you. Yes, everyone, we give God thanks. Give God thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Brother Jamal, you're here with us. We bless God for you. We thank God for Sister Danique. We invite you over. Yes, we bless God. Amen. So we'll pray and dismiss in the name of Jesus. But before we do, anyone want to have any takeaway that you want to share with us, or anything that you want to share with us?
Sorry.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we want to give you thanks for this another opportunity to glorify your name. We praise you, mighty God, with every breath that we take. We thank you, mighty God, for this another night where we come to present ourselves before you, mighty God, knowing, Lord, that it's from you we live, in you we live and move and have our very being. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, the power of your word, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, is a discerner of the thought and the very intent of our heart. We thank you, Lord God, for our presenter tonight, Minister Camille. We thank you for your anointing upon our life. We pray, mighty God, that as she presents, as she share your word, that there will be no backlash in the name of Jesus. We cover her. We cover our family. We cover our job. We cover our entire being in totality. And we pray, mighty God, that no weapon formed against your daughter will prosper. Every tongue rise up against her. I condemn it in the name of Jesus. Yes, mighty God, I pray for a refilling, a refreshing of your anointing upon our life. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you, Lord God, will comfort her, will cover her. Yes, Lord God, and hide her in the hollow palm of your hand. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We thank you, mighty God, for every individual that is represented here online tonight. We pray, mighty God, that all their needs will be met. We pray, mighty God, that you will meet them at the point of the very need. You will intersect whatever plan the enemy would have against them. Yes, mighty God, we pray, God, that you will cause, yes, Lord, that there will be an overpouring, an outpouring of your spirit. Yes, Lord, that will break every yoke and bring the deliverance. I pray, God, that you will be the bridge over troubled waters. Yes, mighty God, I pray, mighty God, that you will deliver them from all evil. We recognize that we are living in a time where the enemy is rampant, trying to destroy and to devour whom he may. But we thank you, mighty God, that you have given us the power to overcome every plan and every trick and every scheme of the devil. And so, Lord God, we pray that your choicest blessing will be upon us. Lord God, keep us in the spirit of deliverance in the name of Jesus. Lord God, as we go through another work week, yes, Lord God, I pray that you will lead and you will direct. You will protect your people from accidents and incidences. You will protect your people, mighty God, from every attack. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, your blood covering be upon us as a people. Yes, Lord God, our entire household. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, your blood covering over it. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, yes, Lord, over our family members, hallelujah, that would reside in the same house with us. I pray, mighty God, that there will be the anointing that will be upon our life. Yes, mighty God, that will emulate from us. And whatever in the house, Lord God, that is not of you, I pray, God, that the emulation from us, Lord, will ignite a fire in our surrounding, that it will never be the same again, Lord. I pray, mighty God, that souls will be saved in the name of Jesus. Yes, mighty God, I pray, mighty God, that you will spread abroad in our life and cause us, Lord God, to be steadfast in your word. And even, Lord God, wherever we go, that, Lord, our lifestyle will evangelize for us, mighty God. I pray, Lord, that we live a life that seeks to glorify you in whatever situation we are in. Hallelujah. I pray, mighty God, that you will hide us behind the veil even now.
Hallelujah.
Yes, mighty God, I pray for deliverance. Yes, Lord, I pray for deliverance.
Hallelujah.
I pray, Jesus, for deliverance tonight.
Hallelujah.
Yes, mighty God, I pray for deliverance. Yes, Lord God. Our voice is not hidden from you, Lord. Wherever we are, Lord God, you know the cry of our hearts tonight. You know, mighty God, what we desire of you, Lord. And so, mighty God, I pray that you will come into our midst, stir it up in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord God, break every yoke. Hallelujah. Break every yoke in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Remove every heaviness. Yes, mighty God. I see it, Lord God. You said, Lord, come, let us reason together. Though your sin may be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, mighty God, for a move of the Holy Spirit up on this line even now. Yes, mighty God, I pray, Lord, that everything will be left at the altar of sacrifice. Lord God, it is not your will, mighty God, that we bear all the burdens alone. It is not your will, mighty God, that we suffer defeat, but it is your will, Lord, that we rise up in victory. And victory is in you, Jesus. So I pray, mighty God, for a dose of the Holy Spirit upon our life, mighty God, that will make the difference in every circumstances that we come up against in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for deliverance tonight.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I pray, God, for deliverance.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, mighty God, I pray for deliverance in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that something will change in the atmosphere wherever we are, mighty God. That you will shift the atmosphere. Let it not be comfortable. Let us not remain comfortable. But let us, mighty God, be in business for the King of Kings.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Fire will heaven fall afresh upon us tonight.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
My. In the name of Jesus, destroy every yoke. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, you are the one that told Peter that the devil is about to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, and when you have overcome, encourage your brethren. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray that you will stand with us. It's high time, Lord God, and we know, mighty God, that we are no match for the enemy, but we know that when we stand in your name, that no foe can stand against us. And so, Lord God, I pray for deliverance.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I see it, Jesus. I see it. I see it. I see it, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I see it, mighty God. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it.
Thank you.
We cannot do it on our own, Jesus. We need
you. Thank you, Lord.
And so, Lord God, I pray that you will open the floodgates of heaven and you will come down in a real way, mighty God, and dispel every darkness, every cloud, Lord God.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God is a constant wrestling, is a constant buckle. But Lord God of Nazareth, I pray, God, that you will stand in the gap. You will be our bridge over troubled water. There is something happening, mighty God. And we know, Lord, that you are our way maker. We cannot do it on our own. So we pray, mighty God, that you will rise into a situation, even now, mighty God, turn up everything, Lord God, that is unlike you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It can't be like this, Lord. Every yoke must be broken in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God, every yoke must be broken tonight. Every yoke must be broken in the name of Jesus. And set your people at liberty. I set your people at liberty to worship, mighty God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Can't you see it, Lord? What is happening, mighty God? We need you more than ever, Jesus.
Thank you.
We have been sailing through some stormy weather, Lord.
Oh,
Lord God, sickness must go, mighty God. Pain must go in the name of Jesus. Everything that is unlike you must go in the name of Jesus. Is enough, mighty God. We have been through enough, Lord, and we need you, Lord God. Step into the situation, ride up the storm with us, mighty God. Be our bridge, our troubled water. Be the anchor that grips our soul, mighty God, that keeps us rooted and grounded in you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It can't be like this, Lord. It has to stop in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
We shout for freedom tonight, Lord. We shout for freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes. We shout for freedom.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Freedom in the name of
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hallelujah.
Yes, mighty God. There is liberty tonight in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Lord,
I see the chains breaking now. I see the chains falling down even now. I see the relief come even now. I see the angel of God marching up and down in our circumstances even now. I see the angel of God fighting our battles for us, even now. I see the angel of God encamped round about us, even now. The circumstances have to change in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Lord. Be thou exalted in the highest place. We thank you, mighty God, for setting the captive free. We thank you, mighty God, for giving us hope in Jesus' mighty name and for the glory of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Amen, amen,
amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God the Father. May the peace of God the Son
rest
in heaven and abide with us now, even forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Good night. Greet somebody as a go. Greet someone as a go.
I'm asking for prayers for Sister Katie. I'm asking for prayer for my. I'm having a back problem for a long time. I'm at work. If you hear snoring, it's the person that I'm sitting. In my spinal cord from my neck go down, but it is so painful at times. I don't know what is going on. I can feel it in my chest sometimes. And it moves, and I am just battling with it. So I'm asking for prayer, please, for it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we keep no company with sickness. We keep no company with pain tonight. We keep no company with any back hurt or any back injury. We place it under the blood in the name of Jesus. Yes, mighty God, I pray, Jesus, God, that you remove mightily upon Kadian's back in the name of Jesus. Remove every pain. Yes, thank mighty God, extrate, Lord, and remove from it, Lord, whatever it is that is causing that ache and pain. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We set her free. And anyone else, mighty God, that is on this line, that is experiencing any pain, we're not going to hands and gloves it up, mighty God, but we speak Jesus over it in the name of Jesus, and we said, be thou healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, mighty God. Yes, Lord. Heal, heal, healing in the name of Jesus. Reach down, mighty God, in his kind hand and heal, bring healing in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless